You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
This has been one of the most difficult years of leadership that I've faced, say over the last 12 months. And I think I've said that every year over the last 4 years. And just when you think it's not gonna get any more difficult, it gets more difficult. And you heard me talk about this whole idea of 12 to 24. Why did we name it 12 to 24? Because I think it was in July, those words dropped in my heart. I didn't know what it was, didn't know what it meant. I had to connect some dots. And there's a difference. I was in a leadership meeting out in the West Coast. We gather leaders from around the world, from all spheres of culture, who want to do kingdom, who want to agree with the prayer of Jesus, kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have a senator that's part of that group. We have a federal judge that's part of that group. We have executive level business guys, wealth managers, school teachers, like just all across the board, and a few ministers. I mean, not many pastors, just me and Tony, maybe a couple others that are part of that group. Because we recognize that 99% of the church will never be in vocational ministry. That means that 99% is the ones actually doing the ministry. And you know, Tony and I were really tired after these meetings. They were really good. It was the best set. We launched this Roar Collective, I think back in 2017. Well, we really dreamed around a table about it with a few leaders. And then this year, I think we had 70, 80 leaders from around the globe that showed up. And we were really tired, and we were kind of debriefing after the meetings were over and recognized there's a difference between, you know, attending a gathering and carrying the heart of it. Something about carrying the heart of something that pulls on you in a different way. I remember John Thomas telling me this when I was transitioning into the lead pastor role. He just said, it's just different. And it is. And I woke up this morning, I was, true story, and I said, oh God, what did I do? As I thought about doing Sunday morning service and then coming back and doing Sunday night service. And then we got into worship. And I said, oh, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. In John chapter 11, 40, Jesus is speaking and he says, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And I've been meditating on Psalm 27, particularly Psalm 27:4. And usually I do that every year in the month of August. This year I couldn't let go, because I recognize that many of us, we've dwelt in the structure of the house of God, but we haven't beheld the beauty. And I so want you to behold the beauty. But you don't get to behold the beauty until you dwell in the structure. It's got to bring you into that place. And I've talked about, you know, the revival days of the 90s. And you know, in the months to come, I'll be talking more about different revival movements like Azusa Street and the Welsh Revival and what God has done. When I read those things, I get lit up, because I know that he is so capable of doing that again in our day. And we have to understand that the sacrifices that we make here, the sacrifice of sound, the sacrifice of being present, the sacrifice of shifting our plans on a Sunday night to gather again, and not only just for us, but to grab a hold of people that need hope, that need an encounter with the living God. that it's not just about the Bridge Metro West. What does God want to do in New England? I feel like, you know, Jamie Dixon up in Maine has kicked it off with Tenacious Love, even in this season, this particular year, that he has stewarded that ground there so well. And I met Jamie, I think he was maybe 18 or 20 years old, just a young guy full of zeal, full of passion. He launched a revival in his town when he was in high school. And that's really where his church has come from. But we have to do our part. So when I hear prophetic words, even like what I've heard this morning, that are congruent with so many words over the years, I recognize the responsibility. See, where grace and favor is given, responsibility is always assumed. You can track those words throughout Scripture, and there's a responsibility on us when we receive the grace and favor from God and man. And so I want us to believe for that which we have not seen, to step into the realm of faith. Wherever your circumstances, you could be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you don't have to fear because God is here. Yes. And what we experienced just during worship today is made some of us uncomfortable. And that's okay. There's always an uncomfortableness that precedes breakthrough. There's always tension that precedes a move of God. And sadly, not everybody makes it. Offense will come. Past hurts will rise up. Past traumas that have not been dealt with will begin to bubble to the surface, because when his presence starts to move like that, it's like a hot pack on a zit. You know those deep ones? And you know it's there, but nobody else sees it yet, but you know. Dude, I'm 51, two. What year is 2020? I'll be 52 next month. I still get them. Is that a thing? Like, I don't know. I'm just an oily guy. But when his heat comes, that which is hidden starts to become, to be revealed. But you do not have to shrink back. That's what Hebrews 10:39 is really about. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about, you know, when God's presence came on the mountain, it was so awe-filled. It was so rich with his presence. There was thick black smoke and the, you know, our translation says there were thunders and lightnings. It's literally, they saw voices and lightnings. That's the literal, if you want to transliterate that, the word for thunders is actually voices. It's just, it doesn't make sense to our mind, to our rational way. You know, we have so many kind of intellectual white Anglo-Saxon Protestants that transcribe scripture, translate scripture, that we miss the mystery sometimes, because if it doesn't make sense in our worldview or in our vernacular and the way that we think, then it's like, well, can't possibly mean that. Meanwhile, you go and travel to some other cultures and you find, oh, they actually translate it the way that it's written, because they're already conditioned to embrace mystery. Western culture, not so much. But this is a time of contending. This is a time of pressing in. This is a time where we shift our plans to lay hold of the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. This is the time to take the weapons that the enemy has tried to strike you with and wrestle it from his hand and strike him back. I've always unknowingly sought to do that. Back in, I don't know how many years ago, going back 30 years ago, people started to prophesy a Davidic anointing over me, which when you're young, you're like, yeah, that's cool, King David, I'm a king. But he was also a king that fell. But what I love about David, among many things, as he took the sword that Goliath was so proud of and took it from his hand and went off with his head. When I've been struck with pain, I've been struck with infirmity, I've had this dogged determination to not allow that thing to become my identity, to take the thing that the enemy has meant for evil and see the glory of God revealed. One of the most glorious moments that I've ever experienced in my life was in the oncology ward in a hospital in North Carolina, where after I had lost, 25 pounds in about 5 days, deathly ill. I had 7 bleeding lesions around my colon. I couldn't even get up and move without assistance, but I laid in that bed and prayed and worshiped, and there was such a presence of the glory of God in that room that nurses that weren't even assigned to me were coming just to come and stand in the glory and talk about God, even if they didn't believe. Man, one lady, she was like the drill sergeant of nurses. Matter of fact, like 2 a.m, they had a knockdown, drag-out fight. I don't know what there were clipboards flying, all of that. And I mentioned it to the day nurse, and somehow it got by, and then they had to come back and apologize to me. I was like, ooh, I told on them. I didn't mean to do that. But she was the hardest looking woman on that floor, and she was the one that came in to give me my fentanyl shot. It was that level, like I was on some heavy duty drugs. She comes and gives me the shot, and if you've ever had like hardcore, like morphine, all that, like you feel in your veins and you just feel like you're sinking into the bed. And she gives me that shot and she looks at me and says, okay, almost sneering. If the Bible was written thousands of years apart by all different people and all this, how do you know it's the word of God? I said, and I literally said, you had to ask me that question after you gave me the shot. But I didn't answer her question. I just started talking to her about the love of God. I started sharing with her testimonies of how God moves, how God touches, how God meets you where you are. She's at the foot of my bed for 40 minutes, tears streaming down her face. And after 40 minutes, she says, I can't believe you're talking to me like this after I gave you that shot. I took the sword that the enemy meant to strike me with, and I wrestled it from his hand, and I struck him in the head. That's what we're called to do. And the sword we carry is love. Whatever it is that he wants to use that blade for in your life, whatever your past is, whatever your history is, whatever your currency is, your current moment is, his divine power has given you everything that you need for life and godliness according to your knowledge of him. And let me tell you, if you just believe, you will see the glory of God even over this next 12 weeks as we lead to 2024. Behold, I'm about to do something new. Do you not perceive it? The Son of David has not passed you by. He's coming again. He's moving again. And all of the stories that you've heard and the things that you thought maybe you missed, and in these moments where you feel the pressure, you feel like you want to back away, you feel like you want to run away, you feel like you want to go back to wherever it was that you were before, I'm telling you, be steadfast. Be resilient. Have that dogged determination to stand and stay in the course. You might be in that fiery furnace, but there's a fourth man in the fire. And he will enable you to stand firm until that breakthrough comes. That time is now. And so I receive, even from you in these moments, and then in my time, in my secret place, in our secret place, we give all glory and all honor to the King that enabled us to be here. Because at the end of the day, I'm the guy that woke up this morning and said, oh God, what did I do? Not my will, yours be done. And I'm not even hanging on a cross yet, I'm just giving up Sunday nights during football season.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.